Let's go down to the Valley of the Sun. He writes for Forbes.com and has written a number of columns that have gotten a lot of publicity lately, and that is Barry Bloom. Barry, how are you today?
Hey, Marty. How are you?
Very good on this Sunday, and you're down there in Arizona watching the Giants and the Diamondbacks, and you put in a lot of time in spring with the Giants. You watch the Diamondbacks all the time. What is your take a little bit on the series so far and where both clubs are at as far as what you see down there?
I think it's an interesting series because the Giants always come in here and get the bejesus knocked out of them. Their pitching is never very good in this ballpark. But for them to come in here and have, you know, the outings that Suarez and Rodriguez had the last two nights, their relief pitching has been impeccable. I think it's 18 out of 19 guys over the course of two games that they got out. They had 17 in a row until Ahmed got a base hit in the ninth inning last night. And then, obviously, you know, they've scored enough runs. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, the Diamondbacks are a 228 hitting team here and a 227 team hit batting average. Period. They're like a tick above the Baltimore Orioles for the worst hitting in Major League Baseball. So it's hard for me to understand with all the injuries they've had and everything that's going on that they're still in first place in the National League, but they find it a way to win. And I look at the Giants, I think Bochy's done a great job keeping it that team where it is through all the injuries and the changes that they've made. They've brought up good people who have filled some roles. Now they're going to get back, you know, Cueto and Samardzija, it's no rush. So I think they're a very dangerous team for the second half of the season.
The Diamondbacks have a pretty good record against left-handed pitching. How do you explain that?
Well, primarily, you know, their top hitters are either switch hitters or right-handed hitters. I mean, Goldschmidt is their best hitter. And, you know, against they pull guys like Lamb out of the lineup who can't hit left-handed pitching, and so they go with a lot of right-handed hitting, and they're better that way than they are, you know, I think against right-handers.
Well, we got Godley today, and you know, in baseball, there's always somewhat of luck involved. Matt Cain no one ever hit for him, and other pitchers they hit for. Godley gets decisions. He hangs around. Earlier in the year, he was terrific. Boy, I remember talking to different people and some of the beat writers for the Diamondbacks and best curveball in the league and all this stuff. But he's gotten knocked around, but they get runs for him, and he has a record of 9-5 going into today. What do you see with Zach Godley? What's happened with him?
I just think he's a number five starter who gets on little runs. Nobody knew who he was last year, and, you know, he pitched well on a fill-in basis. They bounced him back and forth to the minor leagues until they finally stuck with him. I don't think they really had any belief system in him either. But with all the injuries their staff has had, you know, they've had two Tommy Johns over the last couple of years. One of them, Shelby Miller, just came back, and, you know, he's in the straits of coming back from Tommy John surgery, which takes a good season, you know, to really straighten out. And, you know, they've had to have guys come out of the system. You know, like Matt Cook was another one who pitched pretty well for them, and while pitchers were injured this year. So, I mean, they get a lot out of guys who are marginal to mediocre players. And to me, Godley is, you know, he may have a good changeup and he may have a good curveball, but I think he's a mediocre pitcher who's a back of the rotation guy, and they've gotten a lot out of him.
All right. Well, he's 9-5 this year. Barry Bloom with us. Good report on this. His WHIP, walks to hits, innings pitch, 1.52. That's pretty high.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
No, 88 innings, 89 hits, but 45 walks and 89 strikeouts. In today's world, if you don't have a 2-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio, it stands out. So, and 12 homers given up in the 88 innings. So that's more than one a game for him. But he does pitch well.
You're getting too far into the stat woods than me, Marty.
Yeah, well, actually, this is what I got going here to give people an idea of what he's done over the course of 88 innings, which is about a half a season for him in the 16 starts. But at home, he's pitched better. 289 with a 4-1 record at home. So that is a little bit of Zach Gottlieb. All right, we'll leave him alone. But I think the numbers do say something. It puts people on base, as Barry says, a back of the rotation guy. And he does have.
Well, here's the question on this whole thing. You know, they installed the humidor in here at the start of the year, and you know, constantly over the course of the season, Torrey Lovello, the manager of the Diamondbacks, has been asked if he can quantify a change here. And I've seen some stories about it. I've written a bit about it earlier in the season, but I think you can obviously say that the humidor has had an effect on Paul's hit here, and that's one of the reasons why you see the Giants come in and do what they're doing, and why a guy like Zach Gottlieb is a better pitcher here, because his pitches break better, they're heavier with the humidor, and the ball is not flying out of here the way it used to. If you hit a line drive, when you eyeball it, the ball still goes out, but these high, majestic drives that used to be hit here into the far reaches of the ballpark are just not going out anymore. They die at the warning track.
Well, we saw it last night with Panic, the ball that he hit. He crushed it last night and got the sacrifice fly. Barry Bloom with us, Forbes.com. Otani, you haven't talked about Otani for a couple of weeks, and he was in the news this week.
Well, I mean, I don't think what they decided came as much as a surprise. I mean, I've been saying all along they really have two choices. It's just to have this Tommy John surgery now, and they won't see him again until 2020, or just let the healing process take hold and bring him back as a designated hitter for the rest of the year and hope he doesn't hurt his elbow during the rest of the year. And at the end of the season, they can look at it medically and see if he still needs the surgery. But I think, what they've done is they've shut him down as a pitcher for the foreseeable future. And on a conference call with Billy Epperly the other day, I asked him specifically if there's a possibility that we could again see Otani pitch this year. And he danced around it and wouldn't answer the question. So my guess is that they're not going to put that elbow in any more jeopardy, and we're going to see him hit and hope that he doesn't hurt his elbow hitting.
So will he hit? I mean, will he be like a regular hitter in there, or how are they going to deal with his hitting?
Yeah, he'll be the DH on a regular basis, which will put, Albert at first base, for most of the time. And obviously you won't have the situation that you had before where, you prepare him to pitch, so he misses a DH day, then he pitches and they were refusing to pitch him and hit him on the same day, which I thought was ridiculous. The guy's their second best offensive player. And the discussions I had with Mike about it, Socha, was, why are you not doing this? And Mike didn't want to give up the DH in those games. But come on, if you have a hitter like Otani, and it's a question I even ask Pochi, and I ask, Lovello, when you have Bumgarner, Greinke, just because you get the DH in the National League eventually, it doesn't mean you can't show me something. And if you think those guys are worth putting in the lineup, you give up the DH for the day and you let them hit because he's your best option that day. So with Otani, the day before, day after, he doesn't hit. And then he hits like the 3 days and you start the whole thing over again. Now they're just going to be able to put him in the lineup and let him hit when they want to hit. So it's going to be a completely different thing.
Yeah, that'd be fun. All right, very good. Good report on Otani. Last thought for you. There's so much being written about changes in the game, whether you're calm about the DH or, whatever. Rob Manfred's every day he comes up with something else. Is this next union negotiation going to be contentious in some way? We haven't had any trouble since 91, 94, 95. Are we heading for some real negotiations here?
Well, contentiousness in negotiations is always about money. It's never about rules. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are built into the system for MLB to implement the rules if that's what they want to do. All they have to do is give the Players Association a year's notice, and they can implement whatever they want. Like next year, if the Players Association doesn't want to implement the pitch clock, MLB can implement it on its own because they've asked to negotiate. The union hasn't. So, I mean, the question is, do you want to add that as an issue when you get into collective bargaining that you've already rankled the players and you don't want to make them more strident on economic issues? But I think because of what happened in the offseason last year, in terms of the way free agent contracts were given out, I think you're going to basically see this season, you had the teams that wanted to duck under the salary cap, you know, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Giants, they all did it. The Red Sox didn't. They're going to still pay a 50% tax, and they're darn close right now to the 95% tax if they had anybody. You're going to see what that does to the market this year, especially when you have a guy like Bryce Harper out there that everybody expects to bid, and Manny Machado everybody expects to bid. And so, you know, there's a few years to go before you're going into this next negotiations, which would be in, I think, the 2020 season. So, you know, we'll just see as things play itself out. But I think this next year on how they handle the market is going to tell us a lot.
All right. I agree. It's going to affect the Giants as they try to stay under this cap, because I think they will become active next year. That's the only reason to stay under the cap, is so you can do things like that. Hey, great to have you on. Enjoy the game today. You'll be down there for Arizona and the Giants, and we'll follow you on Twitter. And by the way, you almost got hit by a ball again, Steve Gilbert said.
I always almost get hit by a ball here. I mean, I've been hitting the shoulder once this year. As you know, Posey hit me in the ear a couple of years ago and then lent me his mask, which I wore in the press box the next day.
Do you have a glove? Then, you know, do you have a glove or anything?
Yeah, I should bring a glove. I should wear a glove, because if I don't, I'm going to get killed. Okay. That's a good idea. I think I'm going to bring my ancient glove that I still have at home.
All right. They thought you were Henry Schulman for a while, but I guess that passed.
No, yeah, there was an argument there on who's the better-looking one, me or Henry. And I'll let everybody else decide that.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. All right, have a good afternoon. I appreciate you being on.
All right, thanks, buddy.
All right, very good. Good report on Zach Godley.